People do not visit the post office as much as they once did, and even the ones who do might not take a gander at the posters featuring the wanted criminals. They're still there. In the information age, though, there are lots of other ways to find out about people police consider dangerous and want to capture. And a handful of police agencies in Shasta County just joined together to push information about wanted criminals to the public in new ways. The program is called, appropriately, Shasta's Most Wanted. The Redding Police Department is one of the participating agencies, and Chief Rob Paletti is the chief at that agency. Chief Paletti, thanks for joining us again on The Exchange.
Oh, you're welcome.
So what prompted the creation of Shasta's Most Wanted?
Well, as we get together for our Community Corrections Partnership meetings each month, there's a lot of lamenting that takes place about the failures to appear that have really risen since the advent of Assembly Bill 109 and prison realignment. Currently in Shasta County, we have over 500 offenders that have been convicted of a crime and failed to appear at their sentencing hearing. So we came up with Shasta's Most Wanted as a means of focusing specifically on that population. Obviously, people like Shane Miller, who murdered his family, and some others are obviously more wanted than that, and they're obviously still sought. But this program is sought to really focus on those failure to appears that have already been convicted and are awaiting sentencing. And that's what the program is doing. We can't, you know, obviously there's 500. We're putting out 5 to 6 a week. You know, we got to keep jail space in mind. But it was more intended to not just get these people in custody, but also to send a message to the criminal element that we're not going to tolerate their disregard for the law and that they need to show up to court or we're coming for them.
You mentioned the Community Corrections Partnership. For the folks who aren't aware of what goes on there, could you explain that a bit?
The Community Corrections Partnership panel is aligned or set forth by law to distribute the funds that are given to the county by the state for prison realignment. It's made up of the sheriff, myself, the chief probation officer, the public health officer, the court administrative officer, a representative from the public defender and the district attorney's office.
When you talk about the funds, though, I know we talked to Sheriff Basenko last week in Shasta County, and he was not terribly impressed with the amount of money coming from the state to carry out AB 109.
Well, you know, they've shifted a lot of the population from what was state control to county control. So, you know, the probation department has taken on a lot more offenders, but specifically more than anything else, the sheriff's department is having to house a majority of the prisoners that would have gone to state prison. So it used to be a year or less you went to county jail, and a year or more you went to state prison, and that's just not the case anymore. Sheriff Basenko has somebody who's got to hold for up to 10 years in county jail, which, you know, leads me to a little bit of frustration in Sacramento when they start talking about they still do prison time, they just do it in county prison. Well, it's not county prison, it's county jail. It's the same building. Let's not change the title for some, you know, political purpose. It's still county jail. It was still designed to hold people for a year or less, and that whole dynamic has changed with prison realignment.
And I'm sure it's an extreme example, but Sheriff Basenko also told us about the case from Los Angeles County where there's somebody serving a 43-year sentence in a county jail.
Well, I sit on the panel for the California Police Chiefs Association for, you know, specifically to talk about the effects of AB 109, and going off the top of my head, so don't quote me on exact numbers here, but Los Angeles County has like 19,500 beds that's traditionally run at about 75% to 80% of capacity, that since prison realignment is at 99% of capacity and having capacity releases. I think it's Riverside County or San Bernardino, one of the two, that's going to reach about 10,000 capacity releases this year, and the sheriff is talking about, you know, 4,000 here in Shasta County. So, you know, we have to look at alternatives to custody and alternative ways to try to get, you know, punishment and rehabilitation. But if the people don't show up to court and they don't get their sentence, then they don't get to the sheriff in probation to get to those rehabilitative programs. So that's what Shasta's Most Wanted is really pointed at, trying to, you know, solve that problem. And so far, you know, anecdotally from district attorneys and those that work in the courts, the amount of people showing up to court has increased in the last couple of weeks. 2 days after Shasta's Most Wanted started, they had 100% attendance at sentencing hearings, and the next day they had 21 out of 23 show up. So I hope that we've sent a strong message to the criminal element that you need to show up to court and face the consequences of your actions.
You certainly got their attention, it sounds like. Now, the 500 offenders who failed to appear, or you've gotten up to that point anyway, over the course of the year, what does that compare with previous to AB 109?
Well, some of these are a little bit older. They're not all from, you know, the post-AB 109 timeline or time frame. But, you know, it's a problem in the county. So, and not all of the offenders that we're going after, this is not focused on, you know, when they get out of state prison and they go to parole, it's called post-release community supervision. It's not focused on those folks. It's not focused on parolees. It's focused simply on those that have been convicted and failed to appear at sentencing. So not all of these people that we're going after have anything to do with the releases from prison. It just the effect that the releases from prison have had on the jail and the realignment of the criminal justice system doesn't allow us any room in the jail to hold people necessarily until they finish their court process. So this is just it's a twofold. It's to get these, you know, in jail, but like I said, it's more there to send a strong message to the criminal element to show up to court.
We're talking to Rob Paletti, the Reading Police Chief here on the Jefferson Exchange, about the program called Shasta's Most Wanted. You can join us here in the Exchange with questions or comments at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Chief Paletti, then how does Shasta's Most Wanted work? What's the mechanism?
Well, we meet once a week, and the courts provide us those that the names of the individuals that they would like to see captured. And what we're focusing on right now, there are some that have already agreed to what their sentence is going to be when they pled, and then they fail to appear at the sentencing part of it. So we can get those people through if the probation report is done and everything. If we can get them arrested, we can get them through the courts in about 48 to 72 hours. So we're trying to focus on those folks first, so that we don't have a huge negative impact on the jail population, because the sheriff is having to shift some beds to other counties, and that's quite costly. So we're trying to be very pointed about this, very strategic about it, and get those that we can sentence quickly into the courthouse. But if you look at the charges that they're wanted for, it's, you know, possession of methamphetamine, it's stolen vehicles, it's robbery, it's burglary. It's a variety of different crimes, but we want to kind of focus on the property crimes as well.
All right, so you pick the people based on the severity of the crime, the length of the sentence, some combination thereof?
Some combination thereof. We try to get a little bit of a mix, but really it's those that have already agreed to their sentence right now, because there's so many of them that just didn't show up to court. And then what we do every week is we release their names to the media, and we got about a half a page in the Record Searchlight, and it goes on Channel 7 News on Saturday nights and Sunday, and goes on all the radio stations, and they're posting the pictures for us. And we recently got secret witnesses can offer a $250 reward for information, up to $250 reward for information leading to the arrest of one of these subjects. So right now we've got four of those in custody, four of the 10 that we've released. Then we've got, you know, a little bit of information that one, whose name I don't want to talk about because we're not sure, but may have fled to Texas. And we've got another about 10 off that list that we've arrested as well that necessarily haven't had their names put out. And to his credit, Sheriff Pasenko is holding them as well. He committed to me when we came up with this that I'd have 5 to 6 beds a week, but he's holding them all. So I applaud the sheriff for that move.
And it is Shasta County, the city of Reading, and the city of Anderson are the three participants in Shasta's Most Wanted?
Correct, but we also distribute it to, you know, the probation officers when they're out. The marshal's office is participating from Shasta County. We distribute the names and information to the California Highway Patrol, so if they stop them, they can take them into custody. Right now we've got Reading's, we've caught one, Sheriff's caught one, Anderson's caught one, and one turned herself into the jail when her name hit the paper. So I think we're getting some pretty good effect with it.
And so you say so far 10 names have been put out there since this started in late September?
Correct.
And 4 have been caught so far.
Well, we did, this week would be week 3, so we're up to about 15 names. We've caught 3 with one turning herself in, but we've got an additional 10 that we've ended up arresting about that off that list as well.
And did the person who turned herself in say that she was partly because of Shasta's?
Yes.
Most Wanted?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. She started facing the paper and decided to just come turn herself in. So that's good news. That's what we want. That's the easiest way.
All right. Not just Shasta County, obviously, in the city of Reading, but or the city of Anderson, for that matter, too, but lots of issues with jail bed space. Let's take this call from Steve in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Reading Police Chief Rob Paletti.
Howdy. In Lane County, we too have a jail with a revolving door. And once upon a time, we had this underground publication that took the mugshots of everybody that had been arrested during, I think it was that month, that was arrested and put them in the paper, and actually, the county shut them down because of, you know, presumption of innocence or whatever. I'm wondering if you would support a underground newspaper or maybe even a county published newspaper that once a month would put out a photo of everybody with a current warrant out on them so that you could expand above and beyond what you're now doing, or does your jail have too much of a revolving door that you couldn't even accept the capacity?
All right, we'll take it from there. Thanks for the call, Steve. Appreciate it. Chief?
The capacity would be the big problem, and these are, I think these programs lose effect if you arrest the people and then they're right back out on the street and they don't actually see the judge. We want to be able to hold them until they see the judge. We did have a private business that was mining information from the sheriff's department and putting the pictures of those arrested on the out on a media format, an online format. The only problem I have with that is, you know, if you're falsely accused, I mean, we take a witness statement, a person does a citizen's arrest, we have to accept that arrest, we arrest them, put them in jail, and then if they're cited out or whatever the case may be, then their mugshot goes on the web, and once it's on the web, it never comes off. So if the person was falsely accused and then you try to get their picture off, that company actually wanted that person to pay to get their face off that page, even if they were innocent and the charges were dismissed.
Right, I've seen those, yes.
So, you know, I'm not really for that. I think that we can do it in a managed format like we're doing now and have a good effect, because it's as much about the message as it is about the actual arrest. So, you know, I'm waiting this week for statistics from the courts to see, you know, now that we're, you know, starting on week three of this, to see what the actual effect has been. But, you know, from what I hear from, you know, deputy district attorneys and the folks that work in the courts, it's having a big effect, not just at the sentencing hearings, but at all the hearings, with more people showing up to court than were before it started. So I only have that anecdotally now. I don't have the data to prove it. But once I do, then we'll put that on a press release and let people know what the effect has been.
And, Chief, do you have figures on how many website hits, for example, these are getting? And in the case of Reading.com, which does have a paywall for subscribers, do people have to be subscribers to the paper to get the images?
I believe they do. And I don't have web hits because we've got it on so many different websites, you know, Channel 7, mm-hmm. Channel, you know, KQMS, and you know, KCNR, and it's on so many different places. I don't have those numbers all compiled.
All right. Now, so obviously it's a case of triage, though, because back to what Steve was talking about, when you're talking about Sheriff Pasenko holding certain numbers of beds open, you really have to figure out, okay, these are the people who we think are probably the most troubled of the community being out where they are.
Well, it's a matter of, you know, where do you get your bang for your buck? You know, the sheriff right now is seeking grant funding and approval to go after, you know, the grant funds to build a new 64-bed facility. But even if he gets that, you know, that's 5-6 years of construction down the road. So, you know, we've got a prison realignment in California is not going away. The 3-judge panel has been pushing the governor to release even more. And, you know, to his credit, the governor has been trying to, you know, come up with ways to house them to meet the court decree, but at the same time not release these more serious offenders. So he's doing what he can, but this 3-judge panel is really dictating the criminal justice policy of California right now. I don't agree with it. I don't think it's effective, but, you know, we've got to make do with what we're given, and we're doing the best that we can with that.
And is there any particular expense to the implementation of Shasta's Most Wanted?
No, not really. It was just a, you know, kind of a brainchild where we could, you know, publicize, get the public's help, and try to send a strong message. But the media outlets are supporting us in this without cost, and you know, the officers are out doing what they would normally do on a daily basis, and the compliance team, and you know, that checks on people is out looking for them, and hopefully the public, especially with the reward now being offered, will give us some more information. We can get the first one we caught on Monday following the press release was a citizen tip.
Really? So it was like you showed the stuff through the weekend, and then the Monday morning you got a result?
Yep, we put it out on Sunday, and Monday morning the guy called and said, "Hey, I know where this guy is. He's here." So we went and picked him up. So that worked really well.
You mentioned you don't particularly agree with what's been going on with realignment. But so what has been the trend, though, just to get to some numbers that you do have available on crime rates within the city of Reading itself?
Well, the first year of prison realignment, we had a huge spike. But that's when, the sheriff was still short 120-something beds with the closed floor due to the economy. From January to June of last year, we ended up seeing a 57% increase in crime. We ended the year at about a 28% increase. And I think it's hard for me to collect data on why that is, but I think a lot of that had to do with the crime prevention message that we pushed. Reading and the surrounding area had a very, very low crime rate for a very, very long time, and people were relatively, I think, a little bit complacent. When you have over 50% of your burglaries have no forced entry, that means we're leaving our doors, windows, and garage doors open, making it easy for them to, make us victims. So looking at it from that perspective, we ended the year about 28% up. Right now we're sitting about 13% down over last year, which I am not necessarily turning cartwheels over. We're still moving in the right direction, but until I make up the 28% I lost last year and the 16% we lost the year before, I'll be happy when I get those figures back. But at least we're trending in the right direction and we're not going back on a crime increase.
All right, but obviously Shasta's Most Wanted is born in frustration at what the numbers have been doing.
Yeah, a little bit, and anything we can do. The one thing I don't want to do is sit back and say, oh, well, I don't have the staffing that I need, and I don't have this, and I don't have that due to the economy, and just sit back and do nothing. I mean, let's try some stuff and see if it works. And, if Shasta's Most Wanted revealed zero results, then we would say, okay, well, that didn't work, and let's try something different. But so far, it seems like it's working. But we need to keep, not sit back on our laurels and complain, but to continue to try to find solutions to the situation we're in.
All right. The program is called Shasta's Most Wanted. Rob Paletti is the Reading Police Chief. Reading, Anderson, and Shasta County all involved in the program. Chief, thanks for joining us again on the Jefferson
Exchange. Absolutely. Anytime.
You bet.
Take care.
Bottom of the hour here on the Jefferson Exchange. Here's Garrison Keillor.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday, the 7th of October, 2013. It's the birthday of William Zinsser, born New York City, 1922, journalist, author, teacher of writing, written about travel and jazz and baseball, and best-known work is probably On Writing Well, in which he advocates for a clean, spare style. Clutter is the disease of American writing, he wrote. We are a society strangling in unnecessary words, circular constructions, pompous frills, and meaningless jargon. It's the birthday of Thomas Keneally, born in Sydney, Australia, 1935. Decided to become a priest, studied for 7 years, eventually decided he wasn't cut out for it and left the seminary before his ordination. Written 10 books of nonfiction, many novels, best known as the author of Schindler's Ark, 1982, the book on which the movie Schindler's List was based. The story of an opportunistic, alcoholic, womanizing German businessman, Oskar Schindler, who rescued hundreds of Jews from the concentration camps. Keneally said, "Stories of fallen people who stand out against the conditions that their betters succumb to are always fascinating. It was one of those times in history when saints are no good to you, and only scoundrels who are pragmatic can save souls." It's the birthday of the poet and essayist Diane Ackerman, born 1948, Waukegan, Illinois, best known for her book A Natural History of the Senses, her most recent book, a memoir, 100 Words for Love, about her husband, the novelist and poet Paul West, who suffered a stroke that resulted in global aphasia and inability to process language, a memoir of the stroke and of his journey back to language. Here's a poem for today by Elizabeth Bishop. It is marvelous. It is marvelous to wake up together at the same minute, marvelous to hear the rain begin suddenly all over the roof, to feel the air clear as if electricity had passed through it from a black mesh of wires in the sky. All over the roof the rain hisses, and below the light falling of kisses. An electrical storm is coming or moving away. It is the prickling air that wakes us up. If lightning struck the house now, it would run from the four blue china balls on top, down the roof, and down the rods, all around us, and we imagine dreamily how the whole house caught in a birdcage of lightning would be quite delightful rather than frightening. And from the same simplified point of view of night and lying flat on one's back, all things might change equally easily, since always to warn us there must be these black electrical wires dangling. Without surprise, the world might change to something quite different as the air changes or the lightning comes without our blinking, change as our kisses are changing without our thinking. It is marvelous, a poem by Elizabeth Bishop from the Complete Poems 1927 to 1979, published by Ferrer, Straus, and Giroux, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by Lumosity. Lumosity.com's daily online workouts are designed to improve memory and attention and are dedicated to helping people feel sharper, think faster, and remember more. More at Lumosity.com. And by LendingTree, where you can fill out one form and receive up to 5 loan offers at trylendingtree.com, NMLS 1136. Produced by Joy Biles, with assistance from Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.